used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
And the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to Animal Voices, Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, July 20th, 2018. I'm your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined here in the studio today by my co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello.
And our control room operator, Amir Ali.
Good afternoon.
So this coming Monday, July 23rd, is National Gorgeous Grandma Day, and our featured guest on today's show is a gorgeous grandma of the animal rights movement. Her name is Natasha Brenner. She's a vegan and animal rights activist based in New York City, and she is 96 years old. She's amazing. So she'll be speaking with us on her journey to veganism and the types of activism she engages in, as well as sharing advice for seniors who wish to adopt a more compassionate lifestyle. And that's coming up in just over half an hour, so stay tuned for that. And in keeping with this theme, we'll also be sharing some clips for you in a little bit on vegan nutrition for seniors and on how a plant-based diet can play a role in helping you live a long and healthy life. But first, Amir has some thoughts to share with us on a recent development in fast food.
Yeah, unless you've been living under a rock in the vegan community, everyone's been talking about the Beyond Meat burger at A&W. I haven't personally tried it yet, but if you're on social media and the vegan community, everyone's been talking about it and how much they like it. And I thought we would talk about it and share our thoughts on how we feel about vegan fast food and these corporate chains. You guys haven't tried it yet yourselves, right?
No, I have tried the Beyond Burger,
right?
But not at A&W yet.
Yeah, so. Likewise.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show, and I had tried it at Meat on Main, and it was a good burger, but it didn't like blow me into space with how good it was or anything like how people are talking about.
I think all of us have been vegan a little too long. You know, it's like
yeah, yeah.
That we have good burgers, but
yeah.
Yeah.
The Beyond Burger is supposed to be super close to a meat burger, and I've heard actually from, you know, a lot of non-vegans that it is very close to meat. So.
Yeah, some people say that it actually bleeds, which is weird and kind of troubling to me.
Yeah, no, I've heard a few vegans say that like, really cool this burger is here, but it's been too long now. This just grosses me out at this point. But
yeah.
But like meat eaters are the ones who are loving it the most, I think, or at least, yeah, you know, lots of people are loving it. So
yeah
when I tried it at Meat, I actually had this morbid curiosity and I was like squeezing it to see if I can get and obviously it's disgusting.
Yeah. It's just bee juice, Amir. Yeah.
But that, I guess that touches on an important point though. So is this a good thing to have at fast food chains, and will this convince, you know, the majority of meat eaters to give it a try at least and say, okay, maybe vegan food isn't so bad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's amazing personally. It's an amazing development. I mean, there's still some room for improvement. There's been some, I don't know, complaints in the vegan community, I guess, that they tend to grill the burger on the same grills.
There's actually a disclaimer on the actual ad for it that says we use the same. And I thought about that, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to try it. But then if you really think about it, a lot of restaurants that you go to that aren't fully vegan, you're probably eating food that's been cooked on the same pans.
Absolutely. And it's not, I mean, I guess for me, I feel it's obviously not ideal, and it is a little bit gross. You know, if you've been avoiding animal products for a long time, you stop kind of thinking about that as food, and it's just a little bit of a yuck factor. But I don't know. I feel like if you're vegan for the animals, then that kind of stuff really is not, it's not a primary concern, you know what I mean? It's like, it's important that we're just not killing animals for food.
Right? Yeah, I think there's a popular misconception, and, you know, maybe it is this way for some people, but yeah, to me, it's a misconception that veganism has to be about purity, and it certainly is not. It's about being against the exploitation of sentient individuals. So, I think it's a good thing. And I was just telling you before the show, I had this moment earlier this week that was so cool. I was working at the Fairview, and you know, it's a pub. It's got TVs on. They have sports on the TV, and for the first time in my life, I'm standing in this bar, and on the TV, there's people eating these burgers and going, oh my God, really, this is plant-based, and this A&W guy is saying, yes, it is. Aren't you surprised? And they're going, what plants? They're like, but you know, these are the types of videos that the animal advocates have been sending around to people, trying to show people that you can have delicious animal-free food for years and years. And so here I am standing in this bar, and it's on this major sports channel on TV. Right. And so, you know, sure, corporations aren't great to especially, you know, and fast foods, there's all sorts of suffering and abuse involved with all this stuff. But, you know, if we have them speaking out for this, if we have them promoting plant-based eating, then that's something that's good for animals and the environment.
It's a big step in the right direction.
Exactly.
Sure.
I was just going to say, it's at least a step in the right direction. Yeah. Hopefully other fast food chains catch on to see the success of it and, you know, do
and
the same.
Apparently, too, they can hardly keep the burgers in the store. They're selling out like crazy.
Yeah, so they've got signs in windows. Sorry, no more Beyond Meat.
Yeah, so. And the demand at A&W has been so high that all the other places around town that were serving the Beyond Burger and even the stores, there were a couple stores selling it, they don't have any anymore because, like, they've just been selling out at A&W, so that's pretty amazing. I guess to clarify for listeners, if you want to try this and you want it to be vegan, just make sure to order it with no mayo and no uncle sauce.
Right.
I think they use those non-vegan sauces.
And I
on
think
there.
Only the sesame bun is the vegan bun, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there was sesame bun and I think there are two vegan bun options. Yeah. I'll have to look into that again. But the regular bun, I think the bun that just comes with it by default is vegan.
And yeah, supposedly the fries are vegan, but the onion rings are not because they contain whey powder.
Right.
And actually, you told me to remind you about the story about your grandma and the Beyond Meat burger.
That's right. Yeah, sort of in keeping with the theme of the show today, my grandmother, who is awesome. Hi, Grandma, if you're listening. She's in her 80s, and she is not vegan, but she posted on Facebook recently that she had tried the Beyond Burger, and it was the best burger she'd ever had.
Well,
so that was pretty huge. A good endorsement, I think.
Switching gears just a tiny bit, there's an organization called the Animal Agriculture Alliance, and no, we're not advertising for them. They're kind of advertising for us in a way. They released a report that said, the title of the report was Stuff Animal Rights Activists Say, 2018 edition. And before they released the list of all the different things that they found at different conferences, the author, whose name is Hannah Thompson Wieman, says, rather than summarize the conference for you, I'd like to once again let the activists speak for themselves. Here are some of the most concerning, telling, and outlandish statements made at this year's event. One of these outlandish statements is, there's no such thing as humane slaughter. So oddly enough, in a weird way, obviously they're tailoring this article to people in the community who eat meat and who are farming meat. They're almost in a subconscious way telling them what we want to tell them, you know?
Yeah.
Some other ones. Our movement must adopt all avenues, the methodical and radical. Okay, maybe that one you could spin to say that, okay, vegans are extreme or whatever, but even then.
I get that in a way, though, because I'm all about a diversity of tactics when it comes to activism.
Oh, definitely.
There's so many different ways to reach people, and, you know, sometimes the radical tactics reach some people but not others, and the, you know, softer tactics reach some
definitely.
And not others. And yeah, it's important.
Another one, very outlandish. I do believe that all farming and slaughterhouses are cruel.
Well, that's like
exploiting animals who feel is just wrong, and it's like, oh, what an outlandish and horrible thing to say, you know? It's I mean, they're talking from a business perspective, and that's the thing. This article is on porkbusiness.com.
I think that then that's an important point. I feel like if you know, if you view other animals as commodities, then these statements do sound outlandish. But if you view them as the sentient beings that they are, it really is not outlandish at all.
Another good one. You don't have to be an expert or tell the truth to make change. Because we're running out of time, we'll end with this one that is very outlandish. The best thing we can do, stop eating meat.
Wow. Okay.
Calling all listeners. We need your feedback on our website, www.cooperadio.org. The first step to getting a new website that meets our needs is to get as much feedback from members and listeners as possible. We want to invite you to participate in our survey. The link to the survey will be coopradio.org/website. What are you waiting for? Help Co-op Radio shine on air and online at coopradio.org/website.
Now for some events. This Sunday, July 22nd, join Vancouver Vegan Drinks for a pop-up drinks night at the Snug Pub. Vancouver Vegan Drinks holds a monthly meetup at the Black Lodge on East Broadway, but this weekend they're holding an extra meetup at the Snug Pub, which is an all-new, all-vegan establishment in the location of the former Save on Meats butcher shop.
Right.
So... cool.
Yeah.
So it's attached to the Save on Meats deli, but with a fully separated kitchen. So this meetup takes place 4 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at 43 West Hastings, and you can find more info at facebook.com/VancouverVeganDrinks. This Tuesday, we've mentioned this lots, Tuesday, July 24th, Liberation BC and we here at Animal Voices are excited to welcome Earthling Ed to Vancouver. Earthling Ed is known worldwide for his accessible and pragmatic approach in communicating with the public on any and every issue concerning animal rights and veganism. We'll be screening Ed's film Land of Hope and Glory, which will be followed by a talk and Q&A session. And in the interest of education and creating a dynamic discussion, there will be free raffle tickets for any non-vegans in attendance. So cool. There's lots of good prizes, restaurant gift cards, vegan food items, books, t-shirts, DVDs, etc. So again, that's this Tuesday, July 24th, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at UBC Robson Square.
Cool. Bring all your non-vegan friends.
Yes, yes. And if you bring a non-vegan friend, then you get a free raffle ticket as well.
Cool.
So awesome.
Yeah.
And you can find more info posted on our website, animalvoices.org. Earthling Ed will also be joining this Saturday's weekly chicken vigil. The vigils take place every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Hallmark Slaughterhouse at Hastings and Commercial Drive. So Earthling Ed will be joining this week, so that's cool. Go say hi.
Mm-hmm.
Another cool thing happening this week, Wednesday, July 25th. At the Creekside Community Center, just by False Creek there, there will be a special talk on animals and politics given by Liz White, who is the leader of the Animal Protection Party of Canada. So you can go and learn more about the work of the Animal Protection Party of Canada and why it's important to have a political party that represents the interests of animals, people, and the environment. Jordan Reichert will also be there, who is the West Coast campaign officer of the party, and we've had him on the show before. And this is a free event, but seating is limited, so they ask that you RSVP online, and you can find their event page through their website, animalprotectionparty.ca. And again, that's Wednesday, July 25th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the Creekside Community Center. And if you have any animal-related or vegan events you'd like to have announced on the show, then feel free to get in touch with us at Animal Voices, radioanimalvoices.org, or on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Yeah, that's the email address is radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
At Gmail.
Yes,
thank you.
So many different websites. Our website is animalvoices.org, yeah. Yes. thank you so much for that, Sinead. Lots of interesting events coming up. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff going on lately. Okay, so moving on now, we will be sharing with you a brief clip from two registered dietitians who both happen to be based in BC, Brenda Davis, who lives in Kelowna, and Visanto Molina from the Vancouver area. They're both dietitians practicing here in BC. Here they give us a brief rundown on vegan nutrition basics for seniors.
Visanto, I'm really excited. I'm going to officially be a senior in the eyes of some of the stores across North America. In about a month, I'll be 55, and I know that's not really technically a senior, but I'm excited anyway. But I know that you, being older and wiser, have been a senior for several years now. And I know that for seniors, there are some specific, unique nutritional considerations. And so I'm wondering if you can share those with us.
Thanks, Ben, for my lofty heights. I've been senior for over 65 for 7 years now. So what I find is that as we get older, we need fewer calories. Our muscles and body burns less calories. And yet we need more of certain nutrients, more protein, more calcium, more vitamin D, more vitamin B6. So we have to eat in a way that our calories really deliver. And what I find is that I don't need to eat so many grains, but I do need to eat the protein-rich foods, the beans, the tofu, the fortified soy milks. Of course, they deliver calcium as well, and sometimes some vitamin D. And I find that vitamin B6, which we need a little more of, comes from the fruits and from a lot of foods, including the legumes. So what I like to take care of is to make sure that my calories really deliver. And then on top of that, I make sure to have some vitamin B12, some vitamin D. There's vegan sources of vitamin D. People can do an internet search and find them.
And is that vitamin D, is that a vitamin D3?
There's vitamin D2, and there's now vegan vitamin D3 as well, yeah, in spray form. So it's, yeah, great. We have lots of options. And they're really important in North America, in many places where we don't get much sunlight over the winter. And also some optional things we can do are to use DHA and the long-chain omega-3s. So this is a multivitamin, is a possibility, and the DHA. And that'll keep our brain in good trim. And the other thing is to keep fit. I know you're an inspiration for that. I make sure I go to the gym every day and do the variety of things, weight-bearing, stretch, just the whole package. And boy, it's exciting to get older and really feel good, hey?
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Because I know a lot of people I hear over and over again that say, these are not the golden years. But I think when you're vegan, they really can be the golden years.
That's right. Thanks.
Thank you.
That was registered dietitians Vicente Molina and Brenda Davis discussing vegan nutrition for seniors. And next up, we have a clip featuring Dr. Ellsworth Wareham, a retired cardiothoracic surgeon who has maintained an entirely plant-based diet for over 50 years and was actively performing heart surgeries until the age of 95. This segment was filmed when Dr. Wareham was 100 years old, but he is actually 103 today and still kicking. Enjoy.
Well, both women and men have the power to take control of their heart health and hopefully prevent heart disease in the first place. As full-frame contributor Sandra Hughes found out, the lifestyle choices we each make can lead to a long life with a healthy heart. And when I say long life, I'm talking more than a century.
He's lived 100 years and up until 5 years ago was still working as a heart surgeon. But don't ask Dr. Ellsworth Wareham for his wisdom.
I don't know about any wisdom. People associate age with wisdom, and I think that that's probably unscientific.
But what is scientific and backed up by multiple studies is that the lifestyle Dr. Wareham has lived is part of a prescription for a long and healthy life.
Well, I can only describe what I do myself. I must say my family doesn't necessarily subscribe to the program that I'm on. I have never cared for animal products, so with me, it was a very easy thing to become a vegan. It just so happens that veganism is a healthy lifestyle.
Dr. Wareham and his 86-year-old wife, Barbara, both still drive. And Dr. Wareham makes it a point to climb up and down his stairs several times a day for exercise. He worked at Loma Linda Medical Center about an hour east of Los Angeles for most of his career. And he's operated on hundreds, if not thousands, of hearts. His heart is just fine, he says, and so is the rest of his 100-year-old body.
Well, I've been very fortunate in that I haven't had any physical deficits. You know, I don't have any trouble with my joints. My hands are steady. My balance is good, you know. I don't have any trouble with my balance. I don't have to walk with a cane or anything like that. So I'm basically no different than what I was 50 years ago.
Where the Warehams live has a lot to do with how they live and with how long they've lived. Loma Linda is one of five cities in the world designated as a blue zone. The others are Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Ikaria, Greece. These are regions that have people who live measurably longer lives than the general population. Dr. Daniel Fontura is the vice president of Loma Linda University's School of Health.
You've got a significant older population here who oftentimes come here to retire. Also, they've got common values, interests, in the sense that you've got a lot of Seventh-day Adventist Christians who will spend their 70s or 80s doing things together.
The healthy seniors living in this blue zone have more than a shared faith. They appear to adhere to a shared lifestyle that includes regular exercise.
Yeah, I'm vegetarian.
A diet low in meat and higher in plant-based whole foods. And just as important, they're part of a social community. At the Drayson Center on the Loma Linda campus, that community is evident everywhere. From the step aerobics class where 67-year-old Romy Nablack keeps her students sweating, to the outdoor aerobic swim class, to the exercise equipment, everywhere seniors are moving. The entire university is in step with the shared lifestyle.
We at Loma Linda University Health, our mission, or our motto, I should say, is to make man whole. We believe in the paradigm of a whole person. And so we try to actually integrate that into our care at the medical center and clinical practices that we have. So we kind of view and believe that it's kind of a whole package. We view them as just all working together, mind, body, and soul.
Many here in Loma Linda are vegetarian. In fact, the local market doesn't even sell meat. But what research has found really boosts heart health is a diet high in nuts.
Nuts are showing a lot of benefits in terms of reduced risk of heart disease, in terms of overall mortality, and now a couple of different cancers. There have been findings linking nuts to lower risk of colorectal cancer and also of pancreatic cancer.
Shaped similarly, but the Adventist...
Michael Orlich is a co-investigator in the Adventist studies. These are ongoing studies of the lifestyle in the Loma Linda Blue Zone and how it leads to longer lives. That lifestyle includes not smoking, not drinking alcohol or caffeine, regular exercise, being a healthy weight, eating a more plant-based diet, whole foods, and nuts.
Our studies have clearly and consistently shown benefits of a healthy diet pattern in terms of reduced incidence of heart disease and, in other words, the first heart attack, that kind of thing, and even more importantly, reduced mortality from cardiovascular disease. So less people dying of heart attacks or congestive heart failure.
Early Earlier studies have shown Loma Linda males live 6 to 7 years longer than the average American male, and women live 4 years longer than the average American female. Dr. Ellsworth Wareham has certainly lived beyond the averages.
And you were saying it was a lifestyle, so what other things have you done in your life that you think helped you get to 100 and a healthy 100?
Well, I think one has to have a good mental attitude. I think that's high on the list. I think you've got to look at the positive things. There's the negative things of life and there's the positive things. And you've got to concentrate on the positives.
Sage advice from someone who has lived a century. For Full Frame, this is Sandra Hughes in Loma Linda, California.
So that was a clip about Dr. Ellsworth Wareham. It was filmed when he was 100 years old, but as we mentioned before, he is still living, and he is 103 now, and has been vegan since he was in his 50s. So yeah, amazing stuff. They're talking about the Blue Zones. I don't know if either of you have read that book, The Blue Zones. It's a fascinating read. It's basically the work of a team of researchers. They kind of determined the areas of the world where people tend to live the longest. They have the highest These areas have the highest numbers of centenarians, or people who live to 100 and beyond. And yeah, they identified, I think it was, five or so blue zones in the world where people tend to live a really long, healthy life. And they went and, you know, did research on all of these people and just sort of determined the different factors that contributed to them living longer. And they found commonalities in every single one. There were just, you know, lifestyle things like, you know, having a good social network and that sort of thing, being active. And a plant-based diet was a consistent factor all the way through these blue zones. So they all eat very little meat or no meat. In the case of the Loma Linda Blue Zone, a lot of them are Seventh-day Adventists, so many of them are vegetarians and vegans. Yeah, and so like Dr. Wareham, they live long and they feel healthy and happy, and so yeah, it's an amazing thing. Yeah, did either of you have any thoughts on that?
I hope that I can live to 103.
Yeah, and still feel good, right?
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty incredible. Yeah, and I loved that clip from the two dietitians, the BC-based dietitians, Brenda Davis and Vicente Molina. That was such good, it was brief, but such good information on vegan nutrition for seniors.
It makes me wonder how different the social communities are going to be when we are like in our senior years compared to when these people who are vegan are in their senior years, because we're growing up in a very different vegan world than a lot of these people grew up in.
That's true, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine how probably difficult it would have been to be vegan, you know, 50 years ago or something.
Right.
It would have been practically unheard of, and yeah, just hard to find options. You would have had to it's a lot of beans and rice. That's it. No A&W beyond burgers.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, I think it's really cool to I think it's really cool to hear the stories from these people and just hear about this stuff, because a lot of the time doing advocacy or just having people approach you and okay, so you talk about the vegan thing and all right, I'm in my 50s or 60s and I'm too old to change and but you're not.
Exactly.
There are amazing health benefits that you could be experiencing if you just give it a try.
Absolutely.
And some people even feel that way in their 30s, that they've
that's
so long, which is insane.
That's true. And we'll be talking in a few minutes with our featured guest, Natasha Brenner, about that. She went vegan when she was very elderly and is still doing really well years later. Another thing I wanted to touch on was, I guess the reason I like to share these stories is not necessarily because I want to promote the idea that, you
that if you adopt a plant-based diet, you will live a really long life. I don't think it's necessarily a guarantee. I think it's just, you know, there's this widespread misconception that if you go vegan, you're going to be unhealthy, you won't live very long. And I think it's just important to point out that that's obviously not true. You know, all these studies, like they were talking in the clip about the Adventist Health studies, you know, have examined these populations, and the Blue Zones research examining these populations. There's so many people living plant-based lifestyles and living long and healthy lives. So
yeah, if you're living a plant-based lifestyle by eating A&W Beyond Meat burgers every day, I don't know if you're going to live to 103.
That's true, and that is a good point. Yeah, we love having these options, but obviously it's best to emphasize the whole plant foods. And, you know, they're talking about nuts. Nuts are super good for your brain and your heart and your overall health. They're a great source of protein and healthy fats and everything. So, and there's so much nowadays that we have access to so much information. I mean, there's vegan dietitians who have these great websites that are a wealth of information. They're available for consulting too if you need that. There's a couple that I recommend are Ginny Messina. She goes by The Vegan RD on her website, and I think it's theveganrd.com. She has a lot of great information, and veganhealth.org is another excellent one for very comprehensive nutrition information. This is all evidence-based, you know, written by registered dietitians. So good stuff, lots of resources. So let's move on to the news now.
Well, first I'll remind you, you are all listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM CFRO, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada, and ceded Coast Salish territories. And now for some news, some BC news. I'm going to follow up on a story we discussed on the show last month regarding an egg farm or multiple egg farms in Abbotsford. There were some disturbing videos captured inside egg farms in BC's Fraser Valley. The clips were captured by activists, and they showed live and dead birds living in close quarters together, if you can imagine experiencing that for yourself. And many were buried up to their necks in manure. All sorts of problems with with that picture. Last week, the BC Egg Marketing Board announced that one of the farms in question has been decommissioned and can no longer be used for egg productions. And the hens at this one farm will be removed and relocated. There were three barns that the activists said that they filmed in, and this is just one. Jadel Farm is the one that that has been decommissioned, and the egg board said that the other ones were actually up to par with their standards, which says something about their standards.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
It's
disturbing.
It is really, they say, okay, we checked the air quality and the cleanliness of the cages and stuff, but if you just sort of imagine, you know, a dog or a cat or a human, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, we checked and the cages are clean. Like, this is an industry that is based on cruelty. So, you know, I want to drive home here that the, you know, just because you hear that one farm was closed down because the egg board caught them, you know, the egg board does inspections every few months. They go in regularly. So they were asked, how come you didn't catch this sooner? How come you're only catching this now that this activist video is coming out? Right. And they just said, well, we're looking into it, but, you know, we acted immediately.
Wow.
It's just, it's
now
just,
that you got caught.
Yeah.
Some of the things that they consider standard practices are inherently cruel.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, good to hear. It was good to hear our friend Jeffrey Gears. He was quoted in this CTV article. He was one of the activists involved, and he said, "Yeah, this is reinforcing our confidence in their inability to regulate themselves. That's the thing. They regulate themselves." And he said he thinks farmers, generally speaking, won't go out of their way to intentionally hurt an animal, but the reasons the animals are suffering so much there is because it costs money to treat them better. So, again, back to, you know, if you're buying any business that relies on buying and selling sentient individuals mm-hmm. for money, that's going to result in them being treated like objects. They're bought and sold as objects. They're treated as objects.
Absolutely.
So to reduce the suffering of birds on egg farms, biggest thing you can do is stop eating eggs.
Absolutely.
And really quick here, meat and dairy companies are on track to be the world's biggest contributors to climate change, outpacing even the fossil fuel industry, according to a new report. There were a couple of nonprofit organizations that conducted an analysis of the planet's 35 largest meat and dairy companies, and they found that, broadly speaking, the companies were being secretive about their emissions data, and they basically aren't setting targets to reduce the pollution involved in their industry. There's all sorts of things wrong with this, but when taken together, the world's top five meat and dairy corporations are already responsible for more emissions than ExxonMobil, Shell, or BP.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and this is just one study out of several that have come out over years, but mm-hmm. particularly recently, there was one that the lead author said the single biggest way to reduce your impact on planet Earth is to adopt a vegan diet. So yeah, something to think about.
Pretty huge. Well, thank you, Sinead. Next up, in celebration of Gorgeous Grandma Day on July 23rd, we are joined by Natasha Brenner, a vegan and animal rights activist from New York City, who is 96 years young. Hello, Natasha, and welcome to Animal Voices.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. So first of all, I understand that you were a vegetarian for a number of years, but went vegan just a few years ago in 2012. So what inspired this change?
Well, in a way, that I wasn't exactly accurate. We became vegetarians in 1972 and almost completely a vegan. The only thing we had was once in a while an egg. And then when I learned that what they do to baby boy chicks, put them in a machine? Alive.
A grinder, right?
Yes. They put them in alive, and also when I really began to look at it and realized that chickens suffer more than any of the other animals by the way they live and the way they're everything, we just dropped it all together in 2012.
Wow. So did you always consider yourself an animal lover, or was that something that developed over time?
Oh, no, we were always animal lovers, but not active. Where we lived out on Long Island, there wasn't any kind of activism. There were shelters and things of that sort, and thrift shops, and we volunteered where we could, but there was no real live action. Mm-hmm. That came when we moved to New York, and the first action we did was against the circus. That's the first one, but then we became involved with the horse-drawn carriages, and that's where we did most of our protesting.
Wow.
That meaning, you know, going out and protesting.
Right, of course. So so do you still do that kind of activism, or what sorts of actions do you
do
now?
Well, unfortunately, I may be a gorgeous grandma, but I am not a a walking grandma. No, I cannot go out and protest. But I am on the computer all day long doing petitions and actions.
That's great. So what do you like best about being vegan?
What I like best is that I'm not harming a living creature. That's what I like best.
Oh, that's great. yeah, that's good. Very concise answer. So what are some of your favorite dishes or vegan foods that you like to eat?
Well, you know, I don't understand all of the recipes on the computer. They're so complicated and time-consuming. I find it very, very easy. My favorite, if I have to name one, is Beyond Burger.
Oh, wow.
We were just talking about that earlier in the show, actually.
Oh, weren't you? Well, it's absolutely delicious. I haven't yet tried the Impossible Burger, which I understand is even better. That's hard for me to believe, but I will. I will. And there are all kinds of things that if you use a little imagination. Yesterday I made a wonderful dish with tofu that is seasoned, already seasoned at Whole Foods, with mushrooms and onions and stuff and things, and it's wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, sounds great. So do you find that people are surprised when you tell them that you're vegan? What are some of the reactions like?
Well, really, you know, New York is New York, and we have vegan restaurants popping up all the time, and veganism is not such a, you know, unheard of thing. So if I say I'm vegan when they're giving out a sample in Whole Foods and I don't, they just say, oh. And some of them, if they are into it, they'll say, good for you. There isn't really much, you know, surprise. It's so common here.
Yeah, that's great. I know there's a lot of great, you know, famous vegan restaurants in New York, too, and lots of foods available, so that's lovely. There seems to be a widespread idea that it's difficult or even impossible for older people to make significant lifestyle changes, such as going vegan. And I'm wondering, what advice do you have for seniors who would like to transition to a more ethical way of living?
I really don't understand it, because it's not difficult at all. You just prepare something different. You don't go and buy a steak. You look in the fridge and see what you've bought that's vegan, and you make it. I really, really don't understand. It's simple as can be. You use your imagination. I never use the recipes because they're much too complicated, and they call for products that I don't have in my refrigerator. It's just so simple. I really can't understand it. They have vegan delicatessen slices. There's sausage. The sausages are wonderful. You can have a pasta with Italian sausage. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of ingenuity or effort or desire. It's just easy. It's not hard.
I also love vegan sausages. And Natasha, this is Mira. I was speaking with you earlier. As of when I became vegan, my older relatives obviously were questioning my decision to go vegan. I wonder if your younger relatives have criticized your, just your relatives in general, how they've reacted to you being vegan.
Mm-hmm. Well, my younger son is vegan.
Oh.
Yeah, my older son I'm ashamed to say, is not vegan. He was vegan when he had a vegan girlfriend. He's vegan when he comes here and we order in. He's vegan.
Okay.
He's a scientist, and of course he just isn't. What can I tell you? I try very hard, but I'm not getting very far. I think the strongest thing for me to say to him is how it affects the environment, because he's very into that. And it's certainly a detriment. It's certainly, as it was said before on your program, how bad it is. It's the worst thing for the environment. It's causing all the problems we have, and that's the best I can do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm wondering, too, about, you know, when you go to the doctor and that sort of thing, how do they... You know, do you find that being vegan has had an impact on your health that your doctors notice?
Well, I don't know that the fact that I'm a vegan makes much of an impression, but my blood work is very good.
Oh.
And there's never a problem, and so they're very happy with that.
That's great. So do you believe that... maintaining a plant-based diet or being active for animals has contributed to your longevity or can contribute to longevity for people?
Yes, because it gives me a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me a purpose. After all, I'm a widow at this point, and I don't go out very much because I have back troubles and I don't walk well. So what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that my life is worth something. And it is, because I am on the computer all day long doing the actions and the petitions for animals and animal organizations. I can't look at the pictures. I cannot read the stories. I see the headline, and then I do whatever they ask.
Well, that's great. That's so wonderful to hear. Oh, let's see. I kind of lost my thought. Yeah, there was something else I want. Oh, right. Yeah, about I wanted to ask you about what it was like being a vegetarian. You said you went vegetarian in 1972?
No, I'm sorry, 92.
Oh, in 1992.
I said 72, but it's 92.
Right, okay. So what was it like back then being vegetarian?
Nothing. It was just so easy.
Oh.
I mean, if you don't like some food, for example, mm-hmm. you just don't ever eat it. You eat something else, and that's what we do. And actually, at times, it's fun because you're making something up. You know, you're devising, you're inventing, and when it comes out great, which it usually does, it's fun. You take pleasure in that, and to me, it's just not difficult. I just wouldn't do anything to hurt an animal. You know. They talk about cows, and they say that animals are dumb.
Mm-hmm.
What is dumb? Either stupid or not being able to speak. Animals are not stupid, and they can speak.
Mm-hmm.
They speak their own language. They understand each other. They recognize each other. They converse with each other, and they have the same emotions that we do. There is a video of a cow taken immediately after she has given birth to a calf. You cannot believe the agony of what that cow expresses and what that cow does when they take away her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that can look at that and still eat anything that comes from a cow, I don't understand. I really don't understand.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Those are great points. And it's wonderful that, you know, you have such a compassionate heart. So is there anything else that you would want the world to know about animals or about veganism, about being vegan?
Well, the only thing about, I know it's healthier and all that, but the only thing is you are not killing a living creature,
mm-hmm.
a creature that has the same emotions that you do, that feels exactly like you do. You have no right to kill a living animal.
Natasha, are there a lot of people who are in your sort of social sphere that are also vegan that are your age? Or I wonder how your peers have responded to your lifestyle choice as well.
Well, when we moved to the city from Long Island, all the new friends that we made through the activism movement.
Oh, wow.
So therefore, almost all of my friends, and they're all younger, we made through the animal activism. There is a young man called Donnie Moss in New York City. He's a prize-winning. He made a video of the horses. He is the most active, wonderful, successful animal activist that I know of, and I've made friends through him. And that's it. I don't know what to say except it's all animals.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Hi, Natasha. It's Sinead here. I was wondering, you're in New York, and we hear things over here about different farm sanctuaries, including the farm sanctuary in New York State. And I wonder if you've had the opportunity to meet any of the animals at any of the sanctuaries over that way.
Well, I have been to one sanctuary when I was in better shape. I was up in Woodstock. And I went to that animal sanctuary. I am a contributor to the Catskill Animal Sanctuary and the what's the other one? Oh, of course, Farm Sanctuary. I get visitors. I'm very happy to say, from many of the people at animal organizations. I have a very nice guy from Farm Sanctuary, another one from Mercy for Animals, Animal League Defense Fund, and that gives me great pleasure when they come and spend some time with me.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah, I was going to say, I first heard about you, I think, from a video that was put out by Mercy for Animals, and I guess that was you connected with them through your work with the sanctuaries?
No, I connected I connected with them because I donated.
Oh, okay.
I donated a charitable gift annuity.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, it's amazing that, and I've seen a couple other videos of you too. It seems like several organizations kind of have you on their radar, so that's great. Yeah. So, do you have?
I would like to tell people, anybody who's listening, if they can possibly consider a charitable gift annuity, it's a wonderful thing because it's a very easy to do. You get your percentage non-taxable back. The organization gets the money, and it's really, really a wonderful thing to do if you can do it. And if you even just try to explore what it is, you may find organizations that you're happy with and that you can give to.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have to be hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
No, it doesn't have to be. But it gives you a great sense of pleasure, and also financially, you reap your rewards. Of course, being at 96, I get the highest rate of interest. but that doesn't matter because it's good all the way down the line.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great advice. Lovely. All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts for us today, Natasha? Anything you would like to like our listeners to know?
No, I'm just very happy that you're there and doing what you're doing. I don't know what's going on in Vancouver, but I know, like, California has many, many active organizations. Of course, there's no lack of shelters throughout any country.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you can do for an animal, even if it's only $10, they appreciate it, and you're doing a wonderful thing.
That's absolutely true. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Animal Voices today, Natasha. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, dear. My pleasure. Just keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've been speaking with the wonderful Natasha Brenner, 96-year-old vegan and animal rights activist. If you want to see more of Natasha, Google her name and several videos will come up. We talked about that one from Mercy for Animals, and there are a couple more.
And there's some pictures of her with her cute chihuahua, I think it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Pictures of her doing activism and stuff, too. So.
Life goals.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. I feel like we don't hear from senior members of the vegan community too terribly often, and it's
no.
really good to...
I've met a bunch at, like, I used to go to meetups when I first became vegan, and I felt like there were more of people in that age group at meetups and things like that.
Yeah.
So they are out there, but... And I feel like Vancouver is the kind of place where there would be them everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I know there's a few in the community for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's great to connect with them. Do you, either of you have any final thoughts on Natasha or on our the theme of our show?
Oh, just that I'm glad we're doing this show because yeah, you know, that's just one thing that, as I mentioned before, I just hear it so much when I'm talking to people who are seniors or just, you know, not even seniors, just you were pointing out, you know, you could be in your 30s
yeah. Yeah.
and say like, oh, it's too late to change. But yeah, you know, you can do that and just watch some of Natasha's videos and just get inspired that you can make a difference all the way to 103 even.
Yeah,
Like
Dr. Ram.
Yeah. I feel like it's a group of people that get, even outside of the animal rights community, that get forgotten a lot. And
yeah.
it would be cool to maybe reach out to somebody locally that's like a senior or something. If you are out there and you're listening, feel free to give us an email or something at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, and maybe we could have you on the the show in a future episode.
Absolutely, that would be great. You've been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Please join us here next Friday, July 27th at noon. We'll have activist Earthling Ed on the show talking about his new film, Land of Hope and Glory, and answering questions he's commonly asked while doing vegan outreach. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Visit our website at animalvoices.org, where you can stream past shows or download them as podcasts. You can also see our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us on iTunes. Stay in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/animalvoicesvancouver, and on Twitter at animalvoicesyvr. Now we'll leave you with a song. This is the legendary Bill Withers with a tribute to his grandmother called Grandma's Hands. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hands. Soothe the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand used to hand me a piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for...